probably won't even use any of this. I'm Mike. I'm a recovered alcoholic. The power of God separated me from alcohol on the 1st of November of 1983, and it is that power that has kept me separated from alcohol since that time. Actually, I better start off with a light note. I just start the timer. I did notice that dinner's next, so I will keep it brief, because I know I'll probably lose you pretty close into it. But I did also notice that I wore the wrong top, but someone wore the right top to match my socks. I have a sponsor. He knows he's my sponsor. I sponsor guys. I take them through the 12 steps. I have a service sponsor. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Not as much as Biddy, but I'm pretty close behind her. So I want to thank the committee. I want to thank Kristen and April and my host. And all you worker bees that put this together, I'm truly honored and blessed to have been asked to share a few moments with you, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I will probably give a heavy emphasis on what it's like now. Biddy and I mean, we're alcoholics, but, you know, she described some of her past, and I can tell you mine was a pretty, you know, normal. Mom and Dad didn't drink, and what do we, you know, and all this. I wasn't beaten. I wasn't, you know, and why are we here? Why are we, you know, how can we connect? Because we're alcoholics. This program, and I was told, you know, when I walked into my first meeting at 21 years old, do you need me to talk louder? Because I can. And I might, too. Okay. I may not need it anyway, so once I get warmed up. Walked into my first meeting as a junior at the University of Washington, and if you're a cougar, I still will like you. If you're an alcoholic, begrudgingly, but I still love cougars. So I walked into my first meeting a couple miles from the University of Washington. I don't care if they saw me. On campus they had meetings. But, you know, they were all old guys and old people like I am now. You know, a little bit more gray than I don't have much, thank God. But they talked about it then, and we continue to talk about it. Do we act that way to focus on the similarities instead of the differences? I'm going to say absolutely not, but I better not go off on that tangent right now because that will take me somewhere I don't want to go necessarily. So, but I tell you, why did I start drinking and what happened? I don't know why, but I can tell you what led up to it and what happened when I drank. I did feel inadequate, unworthy, alone, and afraid when I look at the picture of that 8-year-old little kid that I was. Inadequate, unworthy, alone, and afraid. I can still feel that today. What age it was, I don't remember, but it wasn't a long drinking career. But I'll tell you, the first time I took that drink, I found the solution to those four things. I found the solution to everything that I needed. You know, it was alcohol. It got in me, and I was none of those things. And growing up in high school, I was funny. I was, you know, better looking. I was stupid. I was, you know, I didn't care about that, you know. But I was those other things that I could show up at a party and you know. But I will tell you what happened the first time, or one of the first times I drank, which I didn't make the connection, was they took, rolled me onto the porch, not on the porch, on the grass of my folks' home. And I proceeded, you know, Mom and Dad dragged me into the house, and I'm sure I was vomiting. I was in the bathroom, and I had a comb, or had a brush, and I was doing this. You know, I was feigning like I did not want to live. I wanted to kill myself. But then I, you know, I had found alcohol, I didn't have to feel that way anymore. You know, I could drink alcohol and be okay with who I was. And that lasted a few years, as I said. I know why I love those two, because I also ended up naked on the floor of the fraternity. And I'm not going to tell you which fraternity over at UW, but I ended up naked with newspaper over me. So that was kind of funny. I learned something new about those two. But that's the things I did. Those are the things I thought were fun, you know. And why I didn't fit in is because I didn't do normal things when I drank. You know, they had to call my dad, you know, when I was up there and talk with me. You know, I think of, was it Dr. Bob had the same thing happen. It didn't help. I mean, I kept drinking. I got a DUI. Spent a night thanks to King County. Never going to do that again. I'm never going to drink and drive again, of course, right? So I didn't for I don't know how long, you know, maybe a week. You know, I did. And something happened. Well, I know what happened. But I asked for help just in the middle of whatever. I just asked for help. So in class one day, I'm reading the school newspaper. And I was looking in the back, and there's classified ads. Anybody? Well, I know there's a lot of gray hair, so you all know what classified ads are, you know. And so I'm scanning through, and there's a two line real small, you know, which today I probably couldn't see. And it said, need help with a drinking problem. Call us. Like I said, you know, whether it was a minute before, the day before, the week before, I asked for help. I knew I needed help. I didn't know what kind. Like I said, I just want to stop drinking and driving in a blackout, go to jail. I didn't like that so much. So I called the number. I don't know what it was. I think it was a Sunday or Saturday. I got asked to go to the meeting on Tuesday. And if I knew the last time I drank was what I'm going to tell you, I would have made it a little different. But I went down to FX McCrory's, which is no longer there. If you're from Seattle back in the 80s, you know what that was. I had two drinks, and that was it. I knew I was going to this meeting the next day. So I showed up, and like I said, it was a couple miles from, I guess it was the apartment I was living in at the time. Some old white-haired guy, you know, greeted me. It made me feel at home. I felt at home. Introduced me to some people. So glad you're here. And I don't remember much of it, but I just remember the welcome, the warmth. You know, I did find I was 21 at the time. He was probably, I don't know, 30 or something, which, of course, at that time, he was old, you know. Yeah, so. And I latched on with a group of guys, and we ran around Seattle, going to meetings, going to lunches every Thursday, and the fellowship kept me sober. The Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, which today I still cherish. But today it's a different fellowship that I crave. So let's fast forward. I'm going to go just to about 4 years from there. I went back to Portland, got married, found a woman who I went to high school with. She asked an acquaintance before I asked her out, is he as wild as he was in high school? And this gal, Tammy, said, no, he's mellowed out, you know. And I had stopped drinking. Yes, I had. And it was about 4 years I'd stopped drinking, but poor Gretchen. She didn't know what she was getting into. So for the next, well, let's just say for 22 years, from 1983 to 2005, I was dying of untreated alcoholism. I'm a recovered alcoholic who needs to treat my alcoholism every day, as the big book tells me. Shocking to me that Alcoholics Anonymous is about 10% about stopping drinking. Because if I want to live and have a life worth living, it's about treating the alcoholism on a daily basis. It's talked about sometimes flippantly and just as it's quoted. Let's just quote, I have a daily reprieve, and not do anything. I'm treating it, aren't I? I can tell you, this book is a book of precise instructions how to treat alcoholism. It starts off, yes, I have to stop drinking in order to treat my alcoholism. Absolutely. But that's just the beginning, as it says many times in this book. Treating my alcoholism is a daily thing. But I can tell you I didn't. For 22 years, I was doing things, you know, I was inadequate, unworthy, alone, and afraid. I was dishonest, self-serving, selfish, egotistical, self-righteous to the core. When they talk about the tornado roaring through the lives of others, I was that individual. Like Rick said, why I'm here today, I don't know. You would have a different speaker if I got what I deserved. Being sober. I was sober and should have been dead more times than I can tell you. So I get my earnestness, I get my enthusiasm, I get my excitement for Alcoholics Anonymous because I've been given another chance to have a life worth living, to have a life that's described in this book. Page 51 says, leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. Leaving aside the drink, this is not about not drinking. This is about living. I can tell you, I left aside that drink question for many years, and living was unsatisfactory. So the practice of this program is not something I do just because I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's something I do so that I can start to not just live satisfactory, but so others may live satisfactory, so others can recover from alcoholism. It also says, I forgot the page number. Well, it's so I can be transformed from a selfish, self-seeking individual to someone who perfects and enlarges his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, as our founder Bill W. talked about. So from 2005, maybe 2017, 18, 2020. So I hear this speaker. I'm in my car a lot. I drive. I used to do that a lot before I retired a month ago, thanks to the grace of God. So I used to drive, and, you know, those CDs, those tapes, cassettes, yeah. I don't know where I came upon it, but came upon a CD, I think, at the time. I don't know. A guy named Mark Houston. If you've never heard Mark Houston talk, go find a Mark Houston talk before you go to bed tonight. Is that a Scott Lee saying to do that? Go before you go to bed. Yeah. Uh-huh. If you haven't heard a Chris R. talk before, you go listen to Chris R. before you go to bed tonight. Those two guys saved my life. One of them I've told them. One of them I was able to. I heard this Mark Houston talk, and he talked about this book. He talked about this book in a way I'd never heard it been talked about. But I was probably ready, too. Imagine that. And I don't know if it was right in the 2005, 2007 area, 2000, whatever it was. I was ready to hear what someone was talking about in this book. I was ready to hear that people have solved the drink problem. I was ready to hear that selfishness, self-centeredness is the root of my troubles. Like I said, I thought I was drinking. I was ready to hear that, you know, what I needed to do was be of use to God and others. A guy named Don Pritz. This is a book of experience. This is a textbook, one of you said. It's not a book to just be read and put on the shelf. I read it every day. I read it with others every day. As in the ones that end with why. Because through this, and as Jake so wonderfully pointed out, I can forget things or lose things. But if I read it every day, I won't forget that I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. I can be spiritually lazy and not. I can read this about every all my thoughts as I go through the day. Does it say that? Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. When I read that, I recognize that's what I need to do. When I read about there are certain times where this alcoholic will forget the pain and misery of even a day, a week, or a month ago. For me, it's a minute ago sometimes. If I'm not reading this book on the daily, I'm forgetting. Forgetting where I came from. Forgetting what I did. Who I hurt. So I heard those talks. And I wanted more. I wanted more of what Mark Houston was talking about. I started to understand why Chris R. got so excited. Now, I'll give you a little caveat. Some of the early Chris R. stuff, a lot of F-bombs, a lot of, you know, and you may not like that, right? But see, the program transforms people. The program has transformed him from those talks to where he talks today. I don't hear those F-bombs today. This program transformed people. Today we're looking for the differences in those people who we don't want in the program. We're going to not ask them to come in. We're going to have safety committees, and we're going to have safety things. And we're going to, you know, if you come in here and talk that way, you're going to have to leave. That's happening, people, in Alcoholics Anonymous. But who can we transform if we don't have the degenerates? If we don't have people like me? We aren't going to be able to transform, use these life-giving principles and steps to help other alcoholics. Because as an alcoholic, I still am, you know, an ego-centric, self-righteous a-hole. And that's who I am. And I can revert to that as without alcohol. And if I'm not in with my people, you know, one of Mark Houston's sayings, and I was going to do it when I got up here right away, because looking at you all, and who would want to be up here in front of the most selfish, self-seeking, egotistical, judging people in the world? I sure don't. I love that quote of Mark's. I mean, I just, he has left me with so many nuggets, you know, because that's me. You know, I'll sit out there while Biddy's talking. Come on, Biddy, now you can say this. It's time to say this. You got to say this. Rick, you know not to say that. Come on, Rick, that's just, you know, and that's the judging spirit I bring to you. But those same two people have changed me into someone who can deliver this message effectively. The message that was carried on to me. The message that if we change it, just one word, if we change one word in that book, will it have the same meaning? Will it have the same impact on the alcoholic that still suffers? I know the answer. And by the way, how can I be so arrogant to think that I can change something in that writing of another individual who, as I read, is just like me, who founded a program that has saved millions and millions and millions? I'm not that arrogant. Changing this book would have the potential, as well as me not focusing on this book, me not focusing on the power of God and how this book and this program has allowed me to build a relationship with that power that I had no idea before you showed me how, before you showed me the black on those white pages and told me to read it and read it with others. So these steps change people. They change me. They have changed me. About 2000, I guess it was 17, somewhere between then and 18, I started to, you know, really have an impact. This book really had an impact on me. I remember, and I could tell you this, there were days where, you know, I knew I'd never find it. I'd go into meetings and I'd, you know, I was reading this book and I was doing what it said and I was listening to Mark Houston and I'm a recovered alcoholic and what that means. And I'd go into meetings, the eyes would roll, the heads would go back in local meetings. Okay. And that was the reality. And that's okay. I knew that what I was, you know, if I'm saying anything outside of this literature, just ignore it. And I hope I haven't yet, and I probably won't, or outside my experience as it relates to this literature. But I walked into a meeting one day, and it wasn't in my hometown. And I introduced myself, talked, because they call on the visitors usually, right? I mean, you call on the visitors, and I was a visitor. And after the meeting, I got handed a young girl comes over to me, and You know, she hands me a card, a little business type card, and on the back she wrote, "Thank you for providing hope to the alcoholic that still suffers, for introducing yourself as a recovered alcoholic." So that was, you know, as I said, I don't remember, 17, 18. And I've maintained friendship with her. She's my service sponsor. Got me into service. God, and I did not want to get into the service, believe me. And I can tell you stories that I still don't want to be in service. I'm the kind of guy, I don't know about you all, but I run. Something's difficult, run. Yeah. My wife and I start to have an argument, run. There's this thing on TikTok. I kind of love it. I see, yeah. Run, you know, it's just run. It's awesome. That's me. So service, are you kidding? So even today, you know, I get into a little bit with someone in the service structure. Run, Mike. Run, I'm out of here. I'm leaving service. Not doing it anymore. Had that thought more than once in the last week. spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. By the way, you notice I added a word on there that most people don't add. Remember, spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. Any progress I made is not based on anything other than the power of God and the spiritual progress through the 12 steps and traditions and concepts of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, okay, now I'm getting warmed up because you know where I'm going now, right? So about, I guess we'll jump to 2020 and the service sponsor and starting to understand what it means to have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. This spiritual malady I have, I need to treat it. And there's some spiritual principles more than just 12 steps. There's 36 spiritual principles in the program and that what makes up Alcoholics Anonymous. So if I've gone through these steps, I recognize that selfishness, self-centeredness is the root of my troubles. Now I've had a spiritual awakening as a result, carrying the message. As Bill said, self-sacrifice. My life is on the plane of self-sacrifice. My role today is to be of use to God and others. There's another from that point now. And by the way, up to this point, I recognize, you know, that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me the right to do all kinds of things, right? I've worked these steps. I understand it's all about me, 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 right? It's all about me, 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 my rights, my rights, my rights, right? All of a sudden in that 12th step, another R happens. The responsibility. The responsibility to start to carry this message, not just to the alcoholic that still suffers, but to the fellowship that saved my life. Again, not once, not twice, probably a few more than that. I have the responsibility to start to learn more. Biddy held up Language of the Heart. She did mention AA Comes of Age. If you haven't read AA Comes of Age, I think it's essential reading. It's my favorite reading for the 12 traditions. Where do I learn about the traditions? I learn about from those who are practicing the principles of the traditions. Got a service sponsor. Started to read about the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because we all know about if we forget history. We all know what we do when we forget what it was like. We repeat it. We as individuals and we as groups will do that. It's happening today in Alcoholics Anonymous. We want our new experiences of yesterday to be written into Alcoholics Anonymous to change Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm responsible. This program, as I said, has changed me. I'm not here to change it. I'm here to experience Alcoholics Anonymous through the teachings of the steps, traditions, and concepts. So all of a sudden, I have a responsibility as I've gone through the steps. That responsibility is translated through our 12 traditions. Our common welfare comes first. Yeah, my personal recovery comes second, but just by a little bit. But I'm more concerned about the group, because I can tell you, fact, those traditions were, I don't know what the right word is, ratified, approved in 1950. I was born in 1962. They had me on their mind when they wrote those traditions. They had me on their, they had all of you on their mind. Some of you were born then, but they had us on their mind. Because as we read in the back of this big book, I don't know if I'll read all three, but there's paragraphs in Appendix 1 that are beautiful. To those now in its fold, Alcoholics Anonymous has made the difference between misery and sobriety, and often the difference between life and death. AA can, of course, mean just as much to uncounted alcoholics not yet reached. I wasn't reached. I wasn't there for them to reach me in 1950. But what was in place, what happened was those traditions were in place so that third paragraph talks about it. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous are, we AAs believe, the best answers that our experience has yet given to those ever urgent questions. Questions then, that questions are relatable to now, that provide Alcoholics Anonymous to be here now. How can AA best function? And how can AA best stay whole and so survive? Do we want Alcoholics Anonymous to be here for those uncounted? For my grandkids, grandkids? Do we want, as individuals, do we want Alcoholics Anonymous to be here 80 years from now? 73 years, 50 to 23, 73 years going forward. I won't be here, guarantee you that. But I want this thing to be in place precisely as it was when I came crawling in here multiple times to find a solution to alcoholism. Yes, alcoholism is about drinking. I needed to stop drinking. But more importantly for me today are those principles in those 12 traditions. Because I need to know how to live with you. I need to know to be how part of a group, that a group can still function. Be part of a group. How can AA best stay whole and so survive? My personal ambitions, my rights, my desires, my wants are not as important as Alcoholics Anonymous and the future of Alcoholics Anonymous. My personal ambitions, my desire to change Alcoholics Anonymous will kill me before it'll kill Alcoholics Anonymous. Because my ego, my selfish self-centeredness will kill me. And if I go around thinking I can change Alcoholics Anonymous, that's my ego. I want to read something out of Comes of Age, as you can see. It's on page 10. I was just another alcoholic trying to get along under the grace of God. Forget me, but go you and do likewise. Add your own link to our chain. With God's help, forge that chain well and truly. So I'm just a link in a chain that has spanned 80 some odd years. That's just fine. Thank you. Alcoholics Anonymous, as it's written in the big book, is just fine. And by the way, when we go trying to change, you know, alcoholics, we need to remember that this is Alcoholics Anonymous. You just need to read the history. This book was written, and then all of a sudden, we need to find a name for what they called a fledgling society. They didn't have a name. They said, let's name it after our big book, the name of our book. So which came first? What is Alcoholics Anonymous? It's right here. It's in this book. Forever and for always shall it be that same message that was carried to me, that was carried to millions before me, that carried it to me. Because without this message, alcoholics will die. So I got involved in service. I started to understand why these traditions and these principles were so important. We only have really one tradition, right? I mean, unity. And the next 11 are how to keep that unity. Second favorite on the tradition. Traditions, stick figures, very little words. Love it. But as it says, each of the other 11 traditions explains one specific way to protect the unity of the fellowship and the AA group. The most important thing, the most cherished, the 12 and 12 says our most cherished quality is our unity. That's not exactly, but that's the first line. Our most cherished quality, and that from that unity flows how we work together as a group. Who's eligible to come into Alcoholics Anonymous? Our ability to carry the message. What do we do about money? You know, how do we relate to the public? Those are how that unity flows from that. If we cannot agree on unity, if we're not permanently unified, well, anybody can come to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, right? It's open to anybody. Another piece of literature, if you haven't seen this, open and closed meetings. Who's eligible to come into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous? Who's eligible to participate? Or who can observe in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous? I think Rick might have said it. We have, I'm thinking of a word, I don't think that's the right word, charades or masks, if you will, of groups on the online platform and even in person, thinking they're AA groups, pretending they're AA groups by using this, quite frankly, or using this, quite frankly, as something you'd find in the restroom. Our literature as has been quoted many times, has preserved Alcoholics Anonymous. We've gone through over the last 3 years, our literature hasn't changed. Our message hasn't changed. But how we deliver it has changed in ways. Many things have changed. I've been called a fearmonger. I've been called a rigid, non-changing, I won't say, because I don't believe changing our literature is necessary to save or present the message to the alcoholic that still suffers. The same message that was presented to me, that was presented to AA number 3, you know, in the 1950s, that same message has endured. It doesn't need to be changed. The way we do it, yes, it can be. Change is happening. Change will happen. But changing our message is a recipe to kill alcoholics, the real alcoholics, as described on page 21. Because the only message, even back to the 1850s, was one alcoholic to another. Alcoholics helping alcoholics. And that's described why the Washingtonians are not here anymore. Allowing political, outside, social, economic issues inside their fellowship, as is happening today in Alcoholics Anonymous. Are we going to repeat history? Or are we going to learn from history? I hope the latter, because I won't be around long enough to see what we all do. As I've gained the responsibility to respect, would you use the word revere? Revere Alcoholics Anonymous. And remember, this message is Alcoholics Anonymous. As I've gained that responsibility, I get more enthusiastic about it. I want to learn more about it. You know, these past 3 years, as I said from up here a little, I've been able to find the fellowship I crave, the message of the book of alcoholics, the message of our literature. I had no idea. I can tell you I had no idea this existed 4 years ago. No idea. Absolutely none. I did not read AA Comes of Age prior to 2020. I might have had the book. You know, I think Mark Houston, I loved his quote about, I love anything Mark Houston said ever. You know, don't let your big book, you know, don't let anybody else read your big book for you. You know, this was on my shelf, never to be pulled off until 2020, when someone said, let's read this book. Our literature is for alcoholics. Our literature is for us to know how to stay recovered, how to continue to carry the message. That's all I need to know today. And our literature will provide that and continues to provide that. Will continue if I continue to learn, if I continue to access myself to workshops, to talks on traditions. See, again, many years, many, many years, very little knowledge. You know, and knowledge isn't going to do it anyway. But the little experience I have from that knowledge gets me excited, gets me earnest, gets me enthusiastic. On page 15, I had to find something as it relates to enthusiasm. I love the pockets of enthusiasm. Love it. My wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of making Mike happy. Oh, it doesn't say that. To the idea of being retired so you could track. No, it didn't say that either. To the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. I have one role today, one role only. To build and grow that relationship with a power greater than myself so I'm able to carry the message. So I'm able to be of help and usefulness to others. If I ignore our 36 legacies, our 36 principles, if I ignore our traditions, think I can do it better, I'm not being helpful. I'm being I'm being useless, actually, to Alcoholics Anonymous if my role is to change Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, that's going to make a lot of friends. Whew. So, going through these traditions, learning about them, having a service sponsor, being of use to others, has brought me a joy today that I can't describe. You know, I can, again, I'm Mark Houstonism. Oh, my God, with Mark Houston, Mike, stop. Oh, man, revere the man. He saved my life, and I know he saved others. I've run into people who've met him. I've run into people who never met him and got the same result I did. Same result. The man saved lives because he carried the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. He talked about this book. He knew it was in this book, and he carried it to those who still suffered from alcoholism. Let's not fall into the trap. And again, these traditions remind me that the most important person in the room is a suffering alcoholic. And those are the words that we need to say when who the most important person in the room is a suffering alcoholic. We've probably heard something else. I was suffering for 22 years in these rooms, dying. So, it was back to Mark Houston. What did he say? Okay. That's what happens. I get off on a little train. Yeah, I pulled a biddy. Okay, I'm in good company. I pulled a biddy right now. So the joy in my life today, yes, is not about anything other than watching the light come on in another's eyes. My home group this morning, a guy who, and you all probably know this, I'm going to say the obvious, and you might be in the same camp. I have no idea who's going to make it and who's not. But I will tell you, oh, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. She won't make it. So one of those not going to make it. Got 9 months today in my home group. And his sponsor is me. Now, I'm sitting there, you know, I mean, the first few meetings for about 2 or 3 months in my head, he doesn't have a sponsor. He's not going to make it. He's not doing anything. Blah, 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 blah. At some point, he asked me, you know, we were talking and we've been meeting. Oh, my God. The guy from a shy, meek, doesn't want to say a word. He was the life of the meeting Thursday. It wasn't a meeting. It's just a group of us to get together and read. And he took he was a school teacher. So alcohol was killing him. Put him into a shell. Then all of a sudden, on Thursday, he was funny, he was witty, he was focused on literature. But it was just amazing to watch. He had 9 months today. And wow. I mean, those are the things that I will burst into tears of joy when those things happen. Why am I crying? Why am I weeping? Just driving down the road. Because the life I have today is anything beyond, so much more than beyond, I can describe that I was having, you know, before doing this work. And that also translates to the spiritual experience. I'll talk about that for a moment. I'm going to be sharing about that. As Rick kind of talked about, across the seas on Monday, spiritual experience. Hopefully what I've described to you is some of that. But I also, that spiritual experience, I'm really awake and aware today of that which God has brought to me in the moment, in the now. Because, yes, another MH thing, you know, what is it, March 11th, 2023, 3:51 in the afternoon, it's 60 years old, with you right here, right now, is a moment I will never have again. The spiritual experience I'm having in this moment is something, if I'm not awake and aware to it, I'm missing it. And I missed so much of my life, you know, prior to the spiritual awakenings, prior to starting to eat up and voraciously learn about Alcoholics Anonymous and the life-giving, life-saving steps and traditions and concepts that make up Alcoholics Anonymous. I am aware of it today, and that's because the power of God in my life that I don't find anywhere else. I won't find anywhere else. I find it here. Yeah, I can find it in music today. Yeah, I can find it in the ocean or the mountains. But that's a byproduct of finding it here with you in the fellowship I crave with people who have had that same spiritual experience, people who I can lead and walk shoulder to shoulder with. You know, I love the fifth step promises. And since I have a moment, I might as well read them. If I can remember where they're at, page 74, I believe. Is that right, Biddy? We pocket our pride and go forward. And go to it, illuminating every twist of... No, is that it? Yeah, 75. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. I begin that on the daily. I begin a spiritual experience on the every day because I practice these principles. I read this book daily. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. It came strongly for me. Problem is, alcoholism didn't stop. I still have alcoholism without the drink. We feel we're on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. That's what treated alcoholism is. That's what walking hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder with others is being on that broad highway, is practicing these principles and these steps, starting to learn about the traditions. The one thing that can kill Alcoholics Anonymous, and I can't remember the quote, and it was, I don't remember who it was, but the only thing that can destroy, is good people doing nothing. We're good people here. We found a solution to our problem. Doing nothing. Alcoholics Anonymous cannot survive with us doing nothing, individually or as a group. If we truly love the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, then apathy is not a spiritual principle I live by. I think that's a Chris R. Apathy is not a spiritual principle that will save my life or anybody else's. So I truly believe, even though I didn't want to, even though there are days I say I'm quitting, I'm running from this service, I can't be apathetic. I can't run anymore. I am responsible when anyone anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA to be there for that. I am responsible. I will, thinking I'd end with that, but I've got something even better, if you will. And it's from the literature. And how important these traditions are, they're vital, again, as I said, for groups and our fellowship to live. And we live under the grace of God. We were, can you imagine if Bill's business deal had gone great? We wouldn't be here, would we? If he went the other way instead of towards the... We wouldn't be here, would we? We wouldn't be here. Thank God the grace of God has entered into our lives and given us the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts. Thank God we have a program and a fellowship that carries depth and weight to the alcoholic that still suffers. And I pray and hope that we all honor, respect, and take on the responsibility that has been given us through a loving God, a loving Creator. That last paragraph in Tradition 1. In the 12 and 12. Thus has it been with AA, by faith and by works, we have been able to build upon the lessons of an incredible experience. They live today in the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, which, God willing, shall sustain us in unity for so long as he may need us. I pray God needs us. I pray God needs Alcoholics Anonymous. forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all. God bless you.